This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with Tom Brady once again. Mm-hmm. All right, 42, that's the wrong age for a football player to give in to greed and entitlement. Tom Brady missed his window for privilege and selfishness by more than a decade. He chose the Patriot way in his prime, and it's a mistake to pivot now. But it appears the GOAT is gonna pivot. The story's encapsulating Brady's free agent mindset paint a picture of a quarterback who believes football, the NFL, the New England Patriots, and Bill Belichick owe him a debt. Patriots expert Tom Curran of NBC Sports published a piece on Tuesday speculating that Brady could leverage his free agency to build a super team that would include bad boy receiver Antonio Brown. Curran wrote, "Even as Brown's behavior has devolved from quirky to troubling to bizarre, Brady has remained supportive on social media and stayed in touch with him. It's not a stretch to assume Brady wonders if Brown would be as bad off now if the Patriots had just stuck by him." Former NFL agent and team executive Andrew Brandt, writing for Sports Illustrated, suggests that Brady had saved the Patriots nearly $100 million by taking below-market deals. Brandt stated that he expects Brady to exit New England, writing, quote, "Brady has been on the submissive side of the business of football. He now has a chance at age 42 to experience the business of football on his own terms." Curran and Brandt are not uninformed. I don't believe they're hearing directly from Brady, but I do believe their point of view is informed from hearing from Brady's agent or people closely tied to Brady. Tom Brady wants a bunch of money and the right to play alongside anyone he damn well pleases. In his farewell seasons, Brady is willing to throw the ball to Brown, Ray Carruth, or the ghost of Aaron Hernandez. He's willing to build the nation of Istom by any means necessary. I think it's a mistake. He's tapped into the emotions of bitterness and entitlement. For 20 years, he built the best brand in sports, the ultimate competitor, the ultimate underdog. He is the Michael Jordan of football. This desperation and greed undercut his reputation. The Patriot way made Brady a legend and a six-time champion. He should have jumped ship at 35 or shortly after Belichick drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't start over at 42 in the NFL. That's ego and arrogance writing a check that his rear end can't cash. You can argue that Michael Jordan's final two seasons in a Wizards uniform didn't damage his reputation. You can also argue those 2 years didn't enhance his reputation either. In sports, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Let's don't forget that Bulls general manager Jerry Krause was right about Michael Jordan. Krause refused to give in to all of Jordan's desires. Krause infamously explained that players and coaches alone don't win championships, organizations do. At 42, Brady would be foolish to leave the best organization football has ever seen. He needs to harness his greed, entitlement, and ego and sign another team-friendly deal with the Patriots. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. a Tom Brady groupie, and Bucky Brooks, who has a very objective view of Tom Brady.
Set that table right.
Groupie?
Marcellus is in the middle here.
They still got groupie?
Hey. I'd rather group over a goat.
Man. All right.
Marcellus is in the middle. Does Tom Brady have the right mindset for a 42-year-old quarterback?
Oh, yes, but I don't even know how to answer that seriously. Because what is the mindset of a 42-year-old quarterback? You act like there's a buffet of examples out there in history of the NFL. Look at that sample size. What are we going to talk about?
George Blanda.
George Blanda, Warren Moon, Vinny Testaverde, Steve DeBerg. And then let's look at it from the sample size of how many were even goats in that position. Donut, nothing to eat, nothing to look for in reference. So now let's talk about Tom Brady's situation and apply it to, I guess, a life lesson. All the old folks I know say, when you live long enough, you get to a point where you don't give a damn. And I know in life you could get to that place, and it seems like Tom Brady in his career, you don't give a damn. This whole Patriot way was something to get him to the status of being a GOAT. But he's checked every single box that a player could ever desire to check. So all that's left for him is either to check those same boxes again or to create his own way. Forget the Patriot way. This team is not built to win right now. Tom Brady and his presence and the threat of him and some of his ability is what got them to a 12-win season. But trust me, if he goes back to that situation, it makes no sense. So I respect a guy like Tom Brady in this moment who says, I took care of y'all. Now it's my turn. Forget team friendly. It's me friendly time.
I think Tom, what Tom needs to do is sit in the mirror and do a SWOT test. Strengths, weaknesses, assessment to see exactly what he is.
The Tom Brady hater. Before we go.
Since you said the Tom Brady groupie, the Tom Brady hater.
I'm not a hater. He just needs to be real with where he is right now. Mm. And if Tom Brady is real with his own game, he'll look and he'll see that he hasn't performed well. We call him Mr. Clutch. You love him. You adore him so much for his postseason success. But the last 2 years,
here we go.
Passer rating's only 79.8.
Here we go. Numbers.
Two to four. Numbers. Touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, he's a diminishing asset, depreciating asset. It is time for Tom to understand who he is.
He won a Super Bowl in there. He forgot that number.
Yeah. You know, numbers.
They won in spite of him, not because of him.
I love a Bucky.
In spite of him. I like to be real. So when you guys are talking about, he got the 12 wins, he willed him to 12 wins? No, Bill Belichick and the others, the defense, helped him get the 12 wins.
I'm with
Tom Brady's best bet is to stay in New England, even though I'm saying New England should be able to move on from him.
I've been a part of top 10 defenses, top 5 defenses. Made the playoffs as a player actively with that team once. We're acting as though making it to the playoffs is in spite of. It's something easy. It's something that just happens. It's become so commonplace to base where our starting line is with Tom Brady off of postseason because of how great he's been throughout his career. Mm. Yeah, 12 wins this year. Mm. Is his mindset right at 42? Yes. Why? Okay, let's start here. Were they a Super Bowl contender this year? Would anybody disagree that they were not a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, okay, they were. Okay, let's move on from there. If it's yes, then why did they come up short? Few weapons here and there on what side of the ball?
The offense.
Okay, that leads me to my next point. All right, so if you're one or two players away and you got a Hall of Famer that's going to be available, and you've mentioned on numerous occasions he probably won't get a sit-down amount of time if his repentance is accepted, you bring him back in, you have one. Now you're only one player away from putting your offense in a position where it has explosive play ability, and you have a defense that's coming back with the returning defensive player of the year. What's wrong with his mindset of saying we're one or two players away from being a Super Bowl
winner? Well, he wants to be paid a boatload of money.
Well, they're already offering him 30-plus is what they're reporting, right?
Reported.
So if they're already offering him 30-plus right now, reportedly, I don't think he's not going to take somewhere in and around that figure.
Everybody, Andrew Brandt, everybody's other consensus, he's going to go play someplace else, and he's going to go play for the maximum amount of money. That's the wrong mindset for a 42-year-old quarterback who, I'm sorry, and I think he's the GOAT, and I'm not trying to diminish him, but he needs Bill Belichick more now than at any point in his career.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I don't disagree with that, and I think that that's why this makes sense.
But we can't question his mindset when all of these assumptions are what we're going off of.
Our assumptions.
Right. And we don't know what Tom Brady is thinking, because I also heard reports that he's going to go to the most loaded team in terms of weapons, and whatever price he can extract from that is what he'll take. So that means maybe the Chargers are more into play than just staying still with the Patriots. That said, you said something about him being the Jordan of football. He's not Michael Jordan. This fits conveniently in his legacy in terms of all of the quiet conversations that we all had about Tom Brady. Is he as good as his accomplishments? You never had that question.
I don't question that.
Well, you ain't been in the locker room with me. Everybody that I know, when we watch Peyton Manning, we're like, he's better than him. You watch Aaron Rodgers say, he's better than him. But then you look at success in totality, Tom Brady became great in part because he used the sum of all of his parts, including his coach, to ride that to
success. That's still greatness.
It is greatness.
There's no way around
that. But there are levels to this.
It is. But
look, Michael Jordan is not the same.
Let's just call it what it is. He's a system quarterback who has played in a great system that has produced a lot of winning. Because that same system helped Matt Castle go 11-5 when Tom Brady wasn't available to the knee. I saw Jacoby Brissett look like a dude in that system. Jimmy Garoppolo also won games in that system. So what I'm saying is this.
Say it.
Tom Brady, at this stage of his career, he needs the system more than ever. Like, if we're talking about Michael Jordan, the one thing you can never question about Michael Jordan, he was a transcendent player.
Yeah.
He was transcendent in college. He was transcendent from the time he stepped into the league. We can never say that Tom Brady was transcendent coming into the league as the 199th pick of that draft.
Oh, that's
so let's be real.
That's
so you were in the locker room.
What he accomplished in the NFL makes him transcendent. And I think we're doing the guy a disservice.
Thank you.
Again.
Questioning his skill?
Yeah, because people can be jealous or people could be jealous of all that success. Anytime somebody wins six championships or four or five or whatever point people are questioning, hey, man, this guy's skill set in terms of standing in the pocket, willingness to take a hit to deliver the football. You can talk about Peyton Manning all you want.
I will.
Peyton Manning and his skill throwing the ball.
I will. Don't do
never
it.
The dog that Tom Brady was
what?
In the pocket. Never.
What
this
mean?
Guy would fall down if I walked
you're
past.
Damn right, so he could survive for the next one. That's why he had the all-time starting
streak. And let's be clear before we go to break. Calling somebody a system quarterback is almost synonymous with thug at this point, right? Like, you calling him out of name, man. Don't call that man out of his name
so let's be real.
Let's not call Tom Brady out of his name.
Don't do it, TV. He know damn
those
well.
Those first three Super Bowls, the Patriots won because of their defense and the way they played complimentary ball. When Tom Brady was playing at his best, 2007 would be that year where we talk about him throwing for 50 touchdowns or whatever. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
You know when they
didn't win that. So when we talk about winning. When they won, it's because he's played within the system and the system that was set in place by Bill Belichick.
Well, if getting MVPs and Super Bowls is being in the system, then sign me up.
I'm on both sides of this
argument.
Sign me up. He needs the system.
Fine.
Particularly at this time at 42. And he needs to take a team-friendly deal and let them build around it. Because Bill Belichick wants to win just as bad as Tom Brady. They're not going to have some rebuilding year in New England. Bill Belichick's going to go for the Super Bowl next year. Take a team-friendly deal, stay there. All this stuff about money and trying to prove something, I can do it without Bill Belichick, any of that, that's crazy talk at 42.
I agree with that.
It's too late.
I agree with that.
It's too late for him.
Yeah, it's
too late.
Y'all saying that for
but
him.
But stop calling that man's system.
Johnny Unitas.
More interceptions than touchdowns winning Super
Bowls.
How you going to throw more interceptions than touchdowns winning Super
Bowls? I'll leave that man alone.
And you the one the reason.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back. Time now for a big story sponsored by KFC. Feed the whole family with KFC's $20 fill-up with all the fixings. Order online at KFC.com.
Did they have chicken?
All right, let's talk Patrick Mahomes.
Stupid.
Who had a lot to celebrate yesterday with a championship and a Super Bowl MVP Sunday and a huge payday now looming. Before the big game, Chiefs owner Clark Hunt said he wants to get Mahomes' extension done sometime in the next 12 to 15 months. But former NFL general manager Jeff Diamond says he thinks the quarterback's agent, Lee Steinberg, won't let Mahomes play next year without a new deal in place. Is that the right move? You agree with Jeff Diamond?
We know what Marcellus going to say.
Money, 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 money.
What did Double X Posse say?
Money.
Not going to be able to do it. I'm not showing up to camp. I am not going to be able to do it. Do you know there is $198 million on the line for every hit he takes, potentially, in a non-guaranteed sport? You want me to just trot myself out there for $2 million when I know I got $200 million to sign for? No way. I had the same agent. I had Lee Steinberg. We had a lot of conversations, and they usually ended around value, around money, around how you get the most for your services. That's why he became a super agent. He knew how to do that and do that well. So if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to go back to my old 25-year-old self. When I got hurt, as soon as I got paid, on the other side, most guys are scared to get hurt before they get paid. Let me tell you about getting hurt after you get paid. There's still pressure to show up. To show that you're worth that. Before you get to that place, Patrick Mahomes, make sure you get that money. Don't step on that field.
No. I think you play this out because the CBA is reaching the last year of the deal. I think you can go and get some short money, but if he really wants all the cheese, which I know you like the money, if you really want all the cheese, you play this out because that new CBA with a bigger salary cap and maybe the quarterbacks carved outside of that, we're talking about $40 million now? Maybe we could be talking about $50 million annually. If we get a chance to get that big check, I'm going to go and get the biggest check. I think Pat Mahomes shows up and play because his value will never come down.
Big is 40. Bigger is 50. Hurt is what?
I mean, but
he almost died in the Super Bowl. Did you see that ball? Ball flew out there. He almost died in the Super Bowl. Knee dislocated this year.
How many quarterbacks have we seen that have been hurt that have never really been able to come back?
Alex Smith going through it right now.
What are the odds? Of him never being able to come back? After he is put out there for public consumption that everyone knows, franchise quarterback, MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
I would say almost the same odds as somebody's going to get $200 million. That's a hell of a slope to climb up. And if you get to that place, you got to be safe when you up there. Don't dangle yourself.
Yeah, he has all the leverage here. And I like I put quotation marks around speculate. When you're coming off an MVP season, then you come back next year and you get a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP, you can speculate. And you know why? Because you got enough goodwill built up to do it. So if there is any point in time, I'm not playing this out. I'm going to speculate and I'm going to strongly speculate because now it's going to force Kansas City to show their hand. What are you guys thinking? What do you really look at me in value, in terms of value for my services? When you start speculating based off of his body of work, you're going to find out a lot of things. So whether a deal gets done or not, I think that this is a great play on Mahomes and Lee Steinberg's part.
Come on, Mr. KC.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I came into this thinking, no way, don't show up, don't play. Then I just started listening to Bucky, and I just started thinking about, I wonder if there's a way to get creative. Because if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry, I can't run out there for $2 million. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering if there's some kind of short-term deal or a deal they could put together that he could opt out of when the new CBA comes into effect. But in some way, some fashion, in 2020, it can't be for $2 or $3 million.
No way.
It has to be 30 or more. I don't know how you get there. I don't know how you open a window so that 2 years later you can come back and eat again. But if I think it would be negligent for all that he's accomplished, and again, I agree with either Bucky or Marcellus and one was saying, look, man,
money.
If he gets injured, he's still going to be valuable. Yeah. Tom Brady had a knee injury.
Yeah,
still Jacoby valuable. Brissett creativity, how they bumped them just for the season. I mean, they got them up to $27 million combined efforts, but you don't play around with this. There's no way.
I'm saying, you're 100% right.
You can't play around with it.
You can't go short term, and I'm going to tell you why you can't go short term. Because of the possibilities of injury. If you go short term, if you don't have like one of these NBA amnesty type of contracts where we're gonna pay you this, Bobby Bonilla still didn't pay.
Understand. The Chiefs can afford to pay this dude just off this one.
So paying.
No. I'm saying.
Don't risk him getting injured.
But I think this is a chance for him to really hit it big, right? So you're talking about him being young. So the more times you go to the table, the more pressure he can keep on him. If he actually took a page out of LeBron James's book, yeah, where maybe he does, okay, I'll do a short-term deal, because the new CBA, we don't know. So now, if he signs too long of a deal, he jump into the new CBA, bigger cap, he's going to be looking up potentially at some mid-level quarterbacks. He's going to be not satisfied. So why not, if he does sign something, 2-3 years, so he can go right back to the table.
Y'all, this ain't the NBA, bro.
This is not
NFL,
what?
Not for long, non-guaranteed contracts. Two things affect
the
them always.
The more times you go to the table, the more money. Just like Russell
you
Wilson.
No, you don't have to go to the table. The more in, you get. In NFL, quarterbacks don't go back to the table. They get restructured based off of already having a premise in place. True. We need to have a $200 million house built. Now, if you want to restructure it creatively, every single year, go ahead. But you ain't going to let me out there for $2 million and say, let's work from that place. We're going to work from $200 million.
If you back that's our that starting $200 point. Million, it better be guaranteed on the back end, because you ain't getting out of it with no roster bonuses, workout. I better sip this amount of water if you're going to pay me. You better make that guaranteed on the back
end. And it's not just because of injury. It's because of production.
Yes.
We have seen players get hurt.
Yes.
Or you've seen players get compromised in their value because of team success or lack thereof. They are already at the mountaintop. There's nowhere to go higher.
So but here's the funny thing with this. He had a lesser year this year.
Yeah.
Than he did.
But he got a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I know, but I'm saying if he goes back and plays anywhere near the level he played at during the MVP season, his value's not coming down.
But he shouldn't have
He's
to.
Not
he shouldn't
down.
Have to risk that.
How
though,
about this, Bucky? What if he plays at this level this year, which was lesser, 10 quarterback rating down from the year before, and they
doesn't
don't
matter.
Win a Super Bowl? And they don't win a Super Bowl.
It never comes down. He's already got 40 in the hole.
Yeah, I don't think his value is year to year at anymore for the rest of his time. This guy's he's a dog. I mean, the running that he showed, the competitive fire, the ability to come back, there's nothing he can do in 2020 to diminish his value. Nothing.
His leverage is at its highest right now. As it stands right now, his leverage.
It's going to get higher.
He doesn't have all the information of what it could be. The new CBA isn't done.
I don't
it could
care.
Be more.
I don't
he could
care,
get a percentage
Bucky.
Of the cap. He has all the leverage, so why
he
give
has
it up
the
early?
Leverage? Why diminish or take the chance on what you've already established right now today?
The problem where I really agree with him, and I think he's like in a different league than Dak or any of these guys, it just would be negligent to go out and play for $2 million next year.
Say it.
It would be negligent. He's the face of the NFL. He's the best player in the NFL. You can't – I don't – if I'm in the league, if I'm Russell Wilson, any of the other people, I'm like, nah, man, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even set that precedent that they can get away with sending you out there for $2 million.
And this is right on time, 2 years remaining on your contract, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff. This is right when you do it. So you're not late or you're not early. You're right on time. And he's at the peak of his powers in terms of what we think of him as a quarterback and what they've accomplished.
Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Rick Bucher. All right, let's talk NBA trade deadline. Reportedly, the Clippers are finalizing a three-team deal with the Knicks and the Wizards to acquire Marcus Morris and Isaiah Thomas in exchange for Mo Harkless and other pieces. Thomas is not expected to be a long-term Clipper. They're expected to move him. Both the Clippers and the Lakers had been in competition to land the Knicks' best player, with Kawhi Leonard's squad besting LeBron and company to pull off the deal. Does this move decide the battle for L.A.?
You know it's a wrap. It's over. I mean, look, a Lakers team already is down 0-2 to the Clippers in the series. And those were games where you saw the Clippers, when they exercised their nitrous, when they put in their second unit, then combo 1 and 2 units, just too much for the Lakers. And the Lakers defensively are longer, stronger, great rim protection, everything, but not enough. Now you add depth, and you add spacing, and you add three-point shooting, 44% Marcus Morris.
Put toughness on there.
You forgot attitude.
All-man team. I'm telling you, on the court and off the court, this is the all-man first team, all-NBA team right here. I don't know how you attack the Clippers, because they're going to attack you not only just X and O basketball, but in toughness and other attributes that come into play, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes, it settles it. I thought the Clippers were the better team going into this. And I knew that the two LA teams were battling for the services of Marcus Morris. I was told this morning and said it on Undisputed. I thought he would wind up in a Lakers uniform because I was told that the Knicks wanted Landry Shamet in the deal and weren't going to get him. Ultimately, they were able to get it done without having to put Shamet in it. So they have all the scoring that I saw last night. They beat a very good Miami Heat team, and they just decided in the third quarter, we're just going to turn it up. The thing that, I wrote about this a week ago, the thing they wanted to add was depth at the front court positions to be able to defend the big men in the league. Marcus Morris is only 6'8", but he can play much bigger defensively. He spaces the floor, so now you're going to make those bigs that he's defending on one end. Now they got to come out and guard him at the three-point line. The only question is the chemistry. How's this going to fit with Montrez chasing a new contract? Because Marcus Morris is going to be an offensive threat, and he's going to get minutes. But if they can handle that, man!
I don't think that's going to be an issue because I think Montrezl Harrell, over the course of these first 49, 50 games, he's proven his value. Anybody that can't see that guy's a player and worth a lot of money is stupid. Where I do think the chemistry could be an issue, to me, Marcus Morris's mentality fits Montrezl Harrell more than it does perhaps Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Marcus Morris is just a dog, man. I mean, he's a natural-born leader. I think he fits the identity of the Clippers from last year, perhaps more than... But again, I also think he can kind of go either way, championship or bust. Because, again, to me, he was playing on a one-year deal. He's proven his value, averaged 19 points a game. So now I think for Harrell and Marcus Morris, it's just about winning a championship. They've made their money. They've proven their value. I get part of me, I actually, right now in this moment, feel sorry for LeBron James and the Lakers. I really do.
Yeah.
This almost seems unfair. They were already, in your opinion, my opinion, Marcel's, but better. And my God, they just got, to me, the best guy on the market.
Yeah.
This seems unfair. LeBron's all geared up for a battle that, I don't feel like he can win.
Jerry West. And Jerry we trust, man. This guy is just playing chess out there. I think the Lakers, I'm going to spin it positively for the Lakers. Even though I think they got too cute in these trade talks, in protection of Kuzma's mindset in case they don't pull off the trade, we still have to work with what we have. So this is a team number one in the West. Last time the Lakers were number one in the West, they won the championship, 2009, 2010. So you got to respect that they're going to sell that in this locker room. But also, you look at the fact that if this is a team that was supposed to make a move, they've made moves every single year since 2015. That was the last time they didn't make a move. Who was in charge? Mitch Kupchak, Jim Buss. Ugly. So LeBron is going to look at this because LeBron's a historian, and he's going to say, wait a minute. You guys didn't make a move because you think we're ready right now. We could try to sell that as confidence, but in reality, last time we saw an in-up front office, they did this exact same thing, which is not do anything and stay pat. I think it's going to be a tough sell.
The sell is we have the best chemistry in the league, and we didn't ultimately want to mess with that. We think that that's an intangible that we have. The difficulty is you were in the running and you were looking hard at a guy that not only didn't come your way, but went to the guys across the street that you are in clear battle with. That trumps this idea that, hey, we're standing pat because we know our chemistry's good when that other team that was already better is getting deep.
Is LeBron going to think, hey, we stood pat because our chemistry's better? Or is he going to think, we stood pat because Rob Pelinka is in love with Kyle Kuzma and thinks that's a better long-term play, where LeBron's like, no, we got to win a championship right effing now. And Marcus Morris could help us do that. Kyle Kuzma can go away. And again, I feel sorry for LeBron because they could have won right now in the year Kobe passed away. This would have been huge for the Lakers, for LeBron's legacy. And they didn't go for it. And what LeBron can legitimately say, hey, man, I've been all in. Y'all hired Frank Vogel. I wanted Jason Kidd. I've been all in. Chemistry on this team's been perfect. Nobody can say I've been being passive aggressive. No one can say I've done anything. I was all in. Were you all?
Kuzma's been getting better every single month. We talked about the points per game. We talked about the shooting percentage. But here's the thing. If you look at the situation around Kuzma, they got too cute. It's just as simple as this. Jerry West says Larry Shamet's off the table. Now let's talk. He got Marcus Morris. When you look at the Lakers situation, is Kuzma on the table or off the table? Crickets. Silence. Why? Because we may be stuck with him. And I use that loosely. But if he's going to be here, we need to protect him as our third wheel to get this going. I think they just got outmaneuvered by trying to be cute in protection of someone's mindset.
And this goes back to last year, because they saw the effects on the young guys having their names out there and how this team went sideways. They certainly didn't want to risk that. But ultimately, to answer your question, we know what LeBron wants. LeBron wants guys that he can trust in the playoffs. Kyle Kuzma has never been in the playoffs. LeBron James wants veterans that he knows exactly what he's getting from them. For all the improvement that Kuzma has given us, what's the one thing you look at him and say, this is what he hangs his hat on? This is what I know I'm going to get out of him every game he plays. You don't.
Yeah.
There's not a consistency there.
I think also in terms of leadership of that team, all the burden falls on LeBron. I don't think there's Rajon Rondo, maybe the number two leader, but to me, he's not good enough. If you had added a Marcus Morris, that takes some of the leadership, attitude, chemistry burden off of LeBron James. I go back to, again, LeBron all in. He can legit. I love to criticize LeBron. I can't. He's done everything properly this season on the court, and they didn't go for it in this moment. Again, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. This is probably a conversation we'll have tomorrow after we read what everybody's saying and things. But I just wonder, is this not a bridge for AD to be out of here after this season? And who knows? Maybe LeBron forces his way out as well.
A lot is going to come from this moment right here, because they're going to be able to dissect how this played out. And that's going to be the issue. Not so much, okay, Kuzma's here. That's what it is. It's the opportunity we had. Why did we lose that? Why isn't Marcus Morris a Laker? When they find out that reason, and it was just like we just said, protection of mindset because of last year and this young player, they're not going to be happy.
All right, let's move to another big trade, with Memphis reportedly shipping Andre Iguodala to Miami, where he has agreed to a 2-year, $30 million extension. Iguodala had yet to play for Memphis and had been demanding a trade to a contender all season, which got some Grizzly players like Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant calling him out recently. Iguodala now heads to Miami, where he'll join one of the top teams in the East and Jimmy Butler. Do we think Iguodala will have an impact in Miami?
I think so. I think it's a positive impact. 2 years, 30 is a little misleading. The team option, second year. So depending on who they get in free agency.
Or if they don't.
Or they don't.
That's the deal.
Yeah, that's the deal. So the East to me is wide open if you look at it. The Raptors are playing better in regular season basketball than they did last year. But that was Kawhi Leonard charging his batteries for the postseason. So let's not confuse the two. Milwaukee's playing the best by record, but Philly has the most talented top-heavy roster, but they're sputtering. So it's wide open in terms of your perception of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals or to the Finals. So why not Miami, a surprising team that has now another proven player in the most meaningful moments? I think his playoff experience is going to prove
valuable. They got both Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder. And yes, he will have an impact. Both of them will, Andre especially, because they are middle of the pack, 14th in defensive efficiency. You normally think of Miami as being an offensively challenged team and a solid defensive team. They've kind of been the reverse. Their success this year has been the reverse. He simply, as a defensive coordinator with playoff experience, is going to be a huge benefit to them. I've been told he didn't originally want to go to Miami. That was not on the list.
Yeah, it was a surprise. Why?
They gave him the extension. And they said, if we don't get anybody in 2021, we'll give you the second year, too. We promise you're going to get 2 years, $30 million. He wasn't going to get that anyplace else. My question is, Miami doesn't believe in load management. Is he How is he? And I've heard he's been.
They don't believe in practice management.
That is true. Very true.
Thibodeau.
He has been, other than he's been playing golf, but he's been working out on a regular basis. But we said the same thing when Zion came back. You got to come back now, and everybody's played 50 games. You got to get up to speed. And I know he load managed last year and was ready at the end of the year. But the bottom line is, you got to get there with no games played. That's my biggest question is, physically, where is he going to be and how soon can he get there?
Well, I think they'll have him ready by the postseason. And certainly, yeah, I think by April they'll have him ready. My question is, what does he have left in the tank? And again, you helped me out here, Rick. My memories of him last year just weren't that strong. I felt like he couldn't knock down the important shots like he used to. I felt like he seemed banged up, injured. They had to manage him the whole year. What does he really have left in the tank? Obviously, he's better than what Justice Winslow. He was unreliable and hurt a lot as well. But are we sure at 36 he can still help a contending team?
He can help them be better than what they are without him. He can help them be better. I mean, they only gave up Justin Winslow, so they essentially didn't give anything up. He's going to make them better defensively just by organizing them. Because Miami has all those shooters, it's the closest thing you could find to Golden State in terms of I don't have to rely on him to be a scorer. And I can hide him as much as possible in terms of having to score from the perimeter. So is it foolproof? Is it certain? No, I wouldn't go there. But is it worth the gamble? And if he can be just what he was last year, it will be an improvement. And in the East, that's a big improvement because it's so wide open.
LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about Antonio Brown, who has been on an apology tour this past week, saying he was sorry to the NFL, the police, and the mother of his children for his erratic behavior the last few months. Today, he went on the Pittsburgh radio station and apologized to his old team. Check this out.
I apologize to those guys for the distractions, you know, the unwanted attention that probably caused those guys to their names and organization. So, obviously, you want to clear out any baggage or any disrespect or unintended attention that was brought on to the organization. You know, these guys gave me an opportunity when I was 21 years old, and forever grateful for those guys, have the opportunity to not only play with those guys, but to be in so many amazing moments, and we've been through so much. So I'm forever grateful and indebted to the Steelers organization, Mr. Rooney, Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, Ben Roethlisberger.
I want to ask you guys, you think AB is being sincere here?
I think about the distractions. I think he was talking about. Didn't he say distractions? I think.
Well, that's down south, though. You know, scrape.
Post club talk.
That's the
distraction.
Don't hate on it.
I don't think he's being sincere. Or you know what? He is being sincere, as much as AB can be sincere. I don't think there was more that he said. He went on to talk about how the problem was that they weren't into a Super Bowl the way that I was. Mm. And then he fired a couple of shots at Juju Smith-Schuster. And so he was being as sincere as AB can be, but fully sincere, no.
I don't even think it's about AB, but I'm going to answer and say he's not being sincere, but because of the process of contrition and redemption. I think it's always false in public sphere. We force people who do things in their own volition, their own coherence. AB did things that he wanted to do as AB. And then those things are not well received at a certain point. And then we say, now, are you apologetic for doing those things? For him to say, yes, I am, is really telling himself, oh, you really didn't believe in the things you did before. But he did. I've been there before. Whether you've been falsely accused or wrongly accused, or even if you did some things that rub people the wrong way. And all they want to feel better is for you to say you're sorry. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there like, I ain't sorry. But if that's all it takes for this to change and to clear up, here you go, I'm sorry. And if you want to say sincerity is involved in that conversation, I say it's not. I don't think he's sincere.
Look, man, I think he's broken. I think he's on the verge.
Broke?
Broken. I think his spirit is broken. I think he thought this was going to play out a different way, and he is seeing how it shifted. And he misses the attention and all the other stuff that comes along with being in the league and playing and being able to use social media and all that other stuff. And so what he is now understanding, he has to do some things from a business standpoint to allow that one person that wants to give him a chance to be able to go to the boss and be like, see, I told you. He's ready to come back.
Exactly.
He's humble. He's now.
Tom
he
Brady.
Is at that point. Maybe it is Tom Brady, but I feel like he's at that point where he's Denzel in glory. He's ready.
Dropping that tear. Well, for the shoes? You want the shoes?
I'll put it to you like this. The boy that cried wolf, you know the reason why he cried wolf? It's because he wanted people from the village to come hang with him, give him some attention. When they came and hung with him, it pleasured him so much. He was so happy about it that he decided to cry wolf again, right? So now, when the wolf really came and ate his sheep, and he goes and complains to the wise man, you know what the wise man said to him? A liar can never be believed, because even when he's telling the truth, we're not going to believe you, right? So he's established the fact that if he was going to tell the truth, if it was going to be what it was supposed to be, he should have did it long before now. And I think the reality that he's dealing with right now is that the only apology that really matters is the apology that he makes to himself and what he does with this opportunity moving forward. No need for any public apologies. If you want to apologize to the police, to your baby mama, to your kids, to the organizations, go do it behind closed doors, because even if you're telling the truth, nobody's going to believe you.
That's a great point in terms of going to the radio airwaves and publicly apologizing when he could easily call Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, the Rooney family, Big Ben, reach out, hey, guys, I want to apologize. And then let them share. Hey, you know what? AB reached out to us and, you know, things
let them
better.
Tell it.
Let them tell it, blah, blah, blah. So I agree with you, and that's where I'm going. But again, in terms of AB, I think because he is so broken and because rules have never applied to him, This is as sincere as he can be right now. Mm. A month from now, he may be even more sincere. 3 months from now, even more. But for right now, this is as close as he can get to sincerity.
I love your points, LeVar. And I have to push back in saying that AB is learning these rules, learning this game, and playing it as he's being told to play it. Roger Goodell and others are talking about AB publicly, because the court of public opinion is largely the reason why they're slow playing giving him his suspension. What's the response from outsiders? Because we don't even know the response in terms of his case legally. So what is the temperature outside? And Roger Goodell takes the temperature. And AB is like, well, let me start doing the things that obviously appease you and bring the heat down yeah. so that I look like I'm showing full contrition. It's all falsehoods, and we get it. AB needs a suspension with a definitive end game. And then the team is going to say he's showing contrition. Bring him in here, and then that's where we're going to start.
But even to that point, he should have took those conversations direct to Roger Goodell. If Roger Goodell is addressing it publicly, then you've given them enough ammunition where they can shoot and they ain't going to miss.
But he's incentivized to do it publicly because he knows what he wants is going to be in the public eye. And also, nobody
but
died.
But that's where you got to trust the process of going
trust
behind.
This process? I ain't trusting this.
He's already damaged himself publicly. So he's only going to hurt himself even more because it's going to be left up to interpretation.
He's becoming a politician.
Go
Every
have
politician
those
does this. No, this is what you got to do. He has to play the politics.
He has to do this publicly because at some point, a team is going to sign him. And what he's trying to do is make it easier for that fan base to be okay, like, hey, he's on
have
the road to redemption.
He's been apologizing since February.
We're going to throw our arms around
have
him.
Have those conversations behind closed doors before you make it public, though, man.
LeVar Arrington and Rick Bucher are back. Time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. Let's move to Kobe Bryant, whose passing brought forth a massive outpouring of love from fans around the world, but it also brought some controversy over discussions of Kobe's past. A female high school principal in Washington State was put on leave after posting on Facebook that Kobe's death was, quote, karma. I took some heat over social media for criticism I directed at Kobe years ago, and now CBS's Gayle King is facing a backlash after pressing the issue of Kobe's rape allegations in an interview with his friend Lisa Leslie, which had Lakers superfan Snoop Dogg up in arms.
Gayle King, Out of pocket for that. Way out of pocket. What do you gain from that? I swear to God, we the worst. We the worst. We expect more from you, Gail. Don't you hang out with Oprah? Why y'all attacking us? We your people. You ain't coming after Harvey Weinstein asking them questions. I get sick of y'all.
All right, LeBron weighed in on the controversy today, tweeting, quote, "Protect Lisa Leslie at all costs. You're a real superhero. Sorry you had to go through that stuff. We are our own worst enemies. Hashtag Mamba for life." All right, is it fair to ask questions about Kobe's past right now?
Yes, it is fair. Gail needed to ask the questions. She's employed to ask these same questions, and she even gave enough room and follow-ups and wasn't suggestive even in the questions. She was talking to someone who knew Kobe Bryant intimately as a friend. Therefore, that person's closer to Kobe and represents, obviously, female basketball, being a woman, could talk from a different lens, different perspective. I thought it was professional, but what wasn't professional is how this story all came about. It was really just a clip that showed that the condiments of their interview, not the meat and potatoes, and it was sensationalized. And then what happens in our world, no one reads the body of work and content anymore. All headlines, all 1 minute clip, and then people ran with it. So I have a lot more to say on this, but my top layer is Gail did her job. Lisa answered respectfully and said her response. Simple as that.
She would have been doing a disservice to Kobe Bryant and his memory if she had not asked the question. Because anything else that you are going to say about Kobe Bryant is then going to have the yeah, but this. You have to address it. I wrote about Kobe. I wrote a piece about how fatherhood had allowed Kobe Bryant to show his best self. In that piece, I had to mention the Colorado incident because that was part of his growth, his history, his reality. He grew from it. However you want to look at that incident, the fact of the matter is you have to include it because it's part of him. And as you said, if you just take that and make it all about that, then you might have a case.
Yeah.
That's not what Gail King did. What the aggregates did in splicing it and pulling that out and making that the point. So, look, she did everyone a favor because you have to acknowledge it.
I look at the outrage and the backlash of it based off of not the questioning. Is the questioning okay? The questioning is okay. It's the media. Nothing is off limits. We know that. I think where Snoop is upset, I think where people got upset, I even found myself like trying to wonder, was I almost felt like when Lisa answered the question, then here comes Gail basically saying, but you don't know. Right? But you don't know. Well, you're asking me my opinion on it. I'm telling you my opinion, but you're trying to, like, it almost came across to me as Gail was trying to lead Lisa Leslie to a different answer or a different conclusion to what was being stated by her. And I felt that in what came across as I watched it. Now, it's one man's interpretation.
No respect.
But with that being said, I would think that that is off limits. Ask the question. As media, ask the question. Ask the question, right? What did you think about it? If she answers the question, move on to the next question. I don't think that it's appropriate to sit there and say, but you didn't know, right? You can't say
what
you knew that
side.
What is it?
He say, she say.
Well, but you asked the question.
So my response.
She answered the question.
My response as a media member to that would be, I'm explaining by your response.
Sure.
I am asking the second question so that you better understand why I asked the question, why I asked the first question. Because her answer is essentially saying, oh, that doesn't have anything to do, like, no, that doesn't have anything. Well, let me tell you why I'm asking you or suggesting that it's complicated.
I want to go really big picture, and I hope the audience can go here with me. But the media has been so set up as a mystery and confusing. We've allowed any and everybody, bloggers, people that have Twitter followings, people with no qualifications as journalists are seen as media. And a lot of these people, the overwhelming majority of people that have a voice now through the internet, have no qualifications as a journalist, but people think they're journalists. And so Gail King was doing journalism. It's been so butchered now that everybody thinks that there are these idols and false gods who can't be questioned, shouldn't be questioned. Their achievements are so big and broad. How dare you question or criticize anything about them? Because that's what a lot of people do. Twitter rewards people that got up, athletes and other people, and you can't even treat them as human beings. That's one. Snoop, and again, why I say this, Snoop is reacting to something much bigger than Kobe Bryant. His point he threw in at the end about Harvey Weinstein is his real point.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Gail, I don't see you going at Harvey Weinstein and the people in your industry with the same zeal as you're going after Kobe Bryant. That's his bigger problem, and that's why she's catching this heat. That's why he threw that in. I'll say this. What I would say to Snoop and LeBron James and all of us here, we have to be respectful that women see Kobe Bryant differently than we do. And their conversation about Kobe Bryant is different than the one we might sit up here and have. Is he better than Michael Jordan? Is he better than LeBron? And all the ways we as men and hardcore jocks will discuss Kobe will be completely different than women who have, again, I don't want to speak for any of them because I don't know their history, but I know a lot of women have been violated. And so their conversation about Kobe is going to be completely different than ours, and we have to be respectful of that and allow them to have that conversation without our panties getting in a bunch and thinking they've done something inappropriate.
Well stated. Well stated. You caught that. This whole homie hookup, because we all brothers and you're not doing the same conversation when it comes to the other side, fairness and equality conversation. In terms of legacy, if you're going to really preach equality and fairness, then you have to
talk about
everything. Here's the thing. I'm going to leave that point alone because you killed it. I think where the outrage is coming from also is the process in which an accuser is now being conflated as a victim in this society. And that's not the case. The case is when you accuse someone, you have to go through a legal process to find guilt. And once you find guilt, that person's found guilty. Conviction now transfers an accuser to a victim. But since we live in a world today that as soon as you accuse someone, everyone gives you victim status, we're looking at this situation differently. Because the accuser in this situation stopped her criminal process short of becoming a victim. Then you get into the civil situation, which everyone who knows the civil process, the preponderance of evidence is different, the level of guilt is different, everything's different. And so people are basically saying, look, Kobe was never convicted of anything. So why are you now bringing up something that even she stopped short of convicting him of? So how is that a part of the legacy? And that is the conversation.
And that's where it's complicated.
Yeah.
Because no, he wasn't convicted, but he was charged. And so to Jason's point, I think there are women and men who look at it and say, the situation was ugly. He was part of an ugly situation. If you want to, by the letter of the law, figure out was he guilty or not, he was in a bad situation. At the very least, he was cheating on his wife and it got ugly. Right.
And
right?
That lands a lot differently with women than it does with us. And I just want to add this. And listen, people, you've sat and listened to me on this show today. Praise LeBron James. And again, when LeBron does good things, I'm all for it. And I praised it just earlier. This little tweet he just put out, this is where my problem with LeBron. This isn't equality. He's allegedly a champion for women. He's bullying Gail King. That's what they're doing. They're bullying an older black woman who we should respect. And again, we have to give them their space to have their Kobe discussion the way women would have it. And their point of view is different than ours, and they don't need to be bullied when they're having this discussion. Let it go.
Can I just add again, because I'm going to stay on the same point that I stayed on earlier. When the legal aspect of it was brought up, and Lisa Leslie answered it and said, well, he wasn't convicted. When Gail responded back to it, it was basically like, well, they didn't interview. She refused the interview. Mm. Like, the way she was framing up the things that she was saying,
yeah.
In my opinion, again, we got to keep in mind, it's not off limits. We can talk about what Kobe's past is. But when you're kind of coming across as almost not seeming to be a little bit sympathetic to the fact that this man is gone and his daughter is gone, I think that, again, like, big picture is big picture. That's fine.
That's right.
But I just think on the minute surface detail of looking at the interview from just a layman, I didn't feel like there was enough respect in some of the things and how she responded in the follow-up to what she was asking.
Yeah. It's a good, fair point. The only thing I would say, though, until you've walked a mile in a journalist's shoe doing tough interviews,
I understand.
You're not going to be 100% precise.
I understand.
And basically, LeBron's put out a tweet that's categorizing Lisa Leslie as a victim.
Mm-hmm.
She got asked uncomfortable question
and was
or two.
Probably checked on to say, are you okay with answering these questions?
Yeah,
I would assume.
Getting asked an uncomfortable question or two doesn't qualify you for victim status.
Hey.
Rick Bucher's back with us. Let's move to Philadelphia. Sponsored by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, these 76ers came into the year with high expectations, but haven't lived up so far. Sitting in sixth place in the Eastern Conference, Joel Embiid blames the team's struggles on their lack of offensive identity, and it's clear that the combination of Embiid and Ben Simmons has not come together the way the Sixers had hoped. Marcellus, is the Embiid-Simmons combo the smartest way to win?
No. And I think it's getting out there now that this team is just not properly constructed. When you talk about their dynamic duo of Simmons and Embiid, it's like a mid-90s NBA team. You got a guard that can't shoot, and then you got a big that's brittle. And it just doesn't add up for consistency and chemistry. And being real, it's too easy to defend, even if they're high-level players, and they are. It's just too easy to have a construction that can go against this and stop it on night ins and night outs. Plus, it doesn't help to go down to Miami on Super Bowl Sunday. Had them two nights in Miami, Saturday and Sunday, get beat up by 31. It happens.
Yeah. The smartest way to win a championship? No. The smartest way to be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference? Yes, they can continue to be that. That talent will give
They're
them
six.
That.
They're six. How are they one of the better teams?
Wide open still out there.
They lost three games and they slid to six.
Gotcha.
They will be a winning team in the Eastern Conference. Will they ever win a championship with this nucleus? No. The pieces at the heart of your nucleus have to fit. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were never going to win a championship in Oklahoma City together. You could have kept James Harden there. They would not have won a championship together.
Even up 3-1?
The pieces have to fit.
Yeah, I hear you.
Ultimately to get you there. These pieces don't. And the biggest problem is Ben Simmons is not a point guard. He is a power forward or a point forward. If you looked at him through the lens of he's Giannis Antetokounmpo, it would suddenly become very clear that Joel Embiid either has to be Brook Lopez, where he spends the vast majority of his time spacing the floor, and that's all we're asking, and that's how we're going to make this work, or it's not going to work. But they keep, like, wrestling with who's the best player, who are we playing through, and that is what makes them confusing and confuses the team.
If Embiid were healthy, I think the choice was healthy consistently.
Yeah.
The choice would be easy. You just move on from Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons' lack of shooting makes him compromised in the modern NBA.
Yep.
It would be for me, too. I would choose Embiid over Simmons. But this is the second Miami incident. There was another one where Ben was celebrating his birthday down in Miami. And they had to cancel practice. Mm. And the owner was involved, as I understand it, in that
Ben
decision
Simmons
too.
Or Embiid?
Ben Simmons' birthday.
Yeah.
So they decided to stay down there and party. Brett Brown, I don't know that was Brett Brown's decision, had to cancel practice. And that's the other part, is that Brett Brown has now been compromised in terms of his authority and his ability to say, this is the way we're going to play. And the worst sign you get is when they start to sort of back channel the questions. Hey, I know we got to make the shots, but you know, if they gave us a better plan, it's that passive aggressive, this isn't working and it's because of
the
guys.
So if you had to make a choice today, you know, and you had to get rid of one of them, who would you get rid of? Ben Simmons?
I would, but I believe that the Philadelphia 76ers would go the other way because of the relationship and because of Embiid's physical history. That Ben is the better bet to endure.
Yeah, he just got paid as well, that extension. This is the definition of a dilemma. Two bad decisions to make because I do not want to be stuck with Ben Simmons in that shooting, but I would choose him just because of his reliability. At least I see him on the court.
This reminds me, Marcellus, you're too young. This reminds me of George McGinnis and Dr. J. People thought that was going to be the greatest pairing in the NBA.
Allen Iverson and Carmelo Anthony in Denver.
Oh, my.
When they came together, everybody was so excited.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Tom Brady.
You
know?
You
know?
But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
Brother. To the same person that said that Tom Brady didn't have the mindset for a 42-year-old.
Yeah.
You 52 years old and still can't do your own laundry. What the hell that say?
A lot of truth in that.
Young man.
All right, let's talk Tom Brady, whose future is very much up in the air. Brady is set to be a free agent and could leave New England, though reportedly Bill Belichick would prefer to keep the quarterback in Foxborough. Marcellus, do you think Brady could win a Super Bowl with another team?
Yes, and I know the name of that team. It's the L.A. Chargers, baby. Give him Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. Oh, my God. The defense up front, we got another Bosa out here. I just think that he needs to go to a team that has ready-made weapons, and then you just insert Tom Brady and take off. I say the Chargers best team.
If the Chargers and the Clippers were both good at the same time, you'd be insufferable.
And I wouldn't be here. Be in them streets partying.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, you got a very serious look on your face today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's your thoughts on Tom Brady?
First of all, I would like to say that my name is Brother Jimmy Poutain.
Poutain. Brother who?
Brother Jimmy Poutain.
Yeah, go ahead.
Super Tang.
And I've been sitting here as a representative for the great prophet, Brother Thomas Elijah Brady 12X.
Hey.
Now, Thomas is our great porcelain leader.
Oh, God.
And we here at the Nation of Islam. Now, I want to tell you something, Brother Whitlock.
Yeah.
I heard you earlier.
Yeah.
You, too, have been hoodwinked. You've been bamboozled. I understand that you've been searching for a path of dietary enlightenment. And for many years without success, might I add.
Yeah.
Did you not dabble in Pyontology? You spent some years traveling the country in foodism. Hey, I remember back in Kansas City, you had a Whoopi Goldberg moment. Tried telling people you was Jewish. Get it? Jewish.
Oh, man.
I have.
But leaving all your personal shortcomings aside.
Yeah.
Jewish.
I took a personal and aggravated offense at your sterilizing remarks as our great Ivory leader, Thomas Kincaid Brady III. I'm a dedicated practitioner, okay, of Islam. And I'm here to ask you, is Tom not one of the most decorated quarterbacks of all time?
Yes, he is.
Is Tom not one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks of all time?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, what you talking about?
Is Tom not one of the best-looking quarterbacks in NFL history?
Well, I'll give you that.
Jimmy G got him, though. Yeah.
Is Tom not the one that reached out to the troubled brother Antonio Brown and tried to convert that brother into the Nation of Islam?
Yes, he did.
Now, let me say to you, my brother, I know that the previous religion, you had a problem with the fact of it required you to give up pig feet and white women. I'm here to tell you that you too can join us. What? You don't have to give up the pig feet. Won't you join us?
He can keep the women.
Are you done? Can I move on?
Can he keep the women?
I can move on. All right, let me move on to my...
Oh, man.
Let me move on to my approval rating for Tom Brady.
By any greens necessary. And you can come in.
I've actually dropped Tom Brady 4 points from yesterday's approval. Yeah.
Overnight?
I don't like this entitled Tom Brady, this Brady that wants to play with Antonio Brown, the Brady.
Brady did not land on Foxborough. Foxborough landed on Tom Brady.
I don't like that Tom.
Yeah.
And so I've dropped him some more points in character.
It happens when you become hoodwinked, my brothers.
And authenticity.
It happens when you become bamboozled.
I kept it the same because...
It's what the man does to you.
When does free agency start? Tom Brady
is what I'm trying to
guessing what he is up to.
The brother Tom Brady has been rebuked. He's been ran amok. Hey. And I'm here to stand up for the brother.
Hey, Pico runs into
by
Crenshaw.
Any greens
Crenshaw
necessary.
And Pico
we will make it happen.
The internet agrees with Marcella. Hell, they disagree with both of us.
Security
they got him in coach status. He moved up.